Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
John chapter 14, verse 21, the Bible says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth not me, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. May God add blessing to the reading of his word this morning. We're continuing in our look at the upper room and thinking along the thoughts of the legacy of Jesus. Well, this morning when we think about the legacy of Jesus and how that legacy is manifest in your life and in my life, we have to think about submission and obedience. The passage that we just read is full of submission and obedience. Now, when we think about the legacy of Jesus, if you haven't caught on to what the Scriptures have been saying, it is all about our personal testimony. You see, the legacy of Jesus is lived out in you and I as the church, as the children of God. Just as the legacy of Jesus was lived out in those disciples of the first church, they're lived out today, 2017. They will be lived out tomorrow and next year if the Lord tarries. But the legacy of Jesus is manifest in you and I. From the first message in this series, we discovered that the presence of Jesus, his legacy, is found in the Holy Spirit. The indwelling Holy Spirit, it guides our conviction. It guides our walk. It guides our life to be pleasing to God. From the second message, we discovered the presence of Jesus, his legacy, his commandment to us, and the commitment to us, and the commitment to his followers is a commitment that is fulfilling in him. It is a commitment that we hold near and dear, or we should be. If we're born again Christians this morning, we should be holding dear to the commitment to Jesus. And we find ourselves committed to a lot of things in life. And I'm not saying they're all bad things. Some of them are, some of them not. We find ourselves committed to our marriages, to our families. Those are good. We find ourselves committed to our jobs. We find ourselves committed to many other things in life, and those aren't bad either. But the greatest commitment that we can have is the commitment we have to Jesus Christ. Because without that commitment, the others are never able to reach their fullest potential. That was in the second message. Today, we find ourselves in the message of the legacy of Jesus as it deals with submission and obedience. You see, we really can't understand commitment until we understand submission and obedience. We really can't understand the conviction of the Holy Spirit until we understand submission and obedience. Without submission and obedience, commitment never quite reaches its potential. Without submission and obedience, the work of the Holy Spirit never finds itself completely fulfilled in our life. without submission and obedience, we find ourselves not walking as close to God as He wants us to walk. Now, submission and obedience is sometimes categorized as something very complicated, very complex. Something that is very, very difficult to achieve in the life of a Christian. But that isn't true. It is an ongoing process. Actually, to be honest with you, we will never find ourselves in total submission and total obedience this side of eternity. But we should always find ourselves growing. Growing and moving forward in our submission and our obedience to the Lord. Well, this morning, as we move into God's Word, we're going to learn what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. And we're going to find it within the pages and within the verses we just read. But first, I want you to notice as we do that, we see the legacy of Jesus is found in love. Love that is to be ours. Today, we live in a very tense atmosphere. We talk about love. We talk about love in all different manners. Unfortunately, today, love is miscategorized, misinterpreted, and wrongly defined. Today, love is defined as being totally accepting of anything and everything that someone wants. Well, that may fit in some areas. But when we filter it through the Word of God, love takes on and defines itself in a very clear and very specific way. God is not a God of tolerance. God is a God of righteousness. He is a God of sovereignty. He has established in creation His directions for each and every one of us. And we have them written in our Bible, in His Word. And I'm not talking about a particular translation. I'm talking about the Word of God as it is given to us through the Holy Spirit and made manifest in our life. And to understand that, we have to understand love. We have to understand it from God's perspective. When we look in verse 21, we see a triangle. A three-sided triangle. And it's one that's very easy to illustrate this morning. First, notice with me out of verse 21 that there is a love for Jesus. Jesus says, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. We can know and read in God's Word what He expects in His commandments. Now, if we love Jesus, we're going to keep them. Now, when we talk about keeping them, it is not a matter of what you can do or I can do to meet them. It is a matter of us submitting ourselves to the Lord and letting the Lord work through us and lead us and guide us. Because I've got news for you this morning. You do not have the ability in your life to meet the commandments of God. You're going to fall short. You just can't do that. You will fall short. I will fall short. We don't have it in us. We are fallen creatures. That goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. We've inherited that. We are fallen creatures this morning. And because of that fallen nature, we can't successfully say, oh, I'm going to decide today, I'm just going to start obeying God's commandments. Well, I hate to rain on your parade, but you won't. You're not going to make it. But if we submit ourselves over to the Lord, and we give ourselves to Him. We say, Lord, I love You, and I want You to work through me. I want to be submissive to You. I want to be obedient to You, but I realize I can't do it on my own. I want to turn myself over to You, and I want You to work through me. I want you to make this happen. I want you to lead and guide and direct me. Then that's possible. We see the word manifest. We see in verse 21, Jesus goes on to say, "He that loves me will be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest. I will make known." I will make known. If we love Jesus with the heart that He calls us to love Him with, He will make that known through our life and in our life. It's our testimony. You will know a tree by the fruit that it bears. You will know a life by the way it is lived. Our testimony. If we're in love with Jesus this morning, and we are truly, and we have a true desire to serve Him, we have a true desire to seek His will in all of our life and in all the areas of our life, it will show up in the way we live our life. Because we will be submitting ourselves over to Him. That's not that tall of an order. It's not like we become robots. It is just a matter of us realizing and being humble to the point of knowing that regardless of what we know, regardless of how much we have, regardless of our position in life, we just don't quite cut it. And God has to help us. And because we humble ourselves to realizing God has to help us, we realize that we have to submit ourselves over to Christ and let Him manifest Himself in us. That's one side of that triangle. The other side is God, is the Father's love for us. You know, there's an obvious presence of God in your life. Sometimes that obvious presence is Him not being. God can choose to show up in our life or choose to be absent in our life. Depends on where our heart is. Even in the life of a Christian. Yes, we have, if you're saved, you have the indwelling Holy Spirit. But whether God chooses to be present in your life depends upon the decisions that you make after that indwelling Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be talking to you all day long about don't do this, do that, make this decision, make that decision. And you know from your heart what the right thing is to do. But then you deliberately and knowingly make a wrong decision because of popularity, because of pressure, because of fill in the blank. God says, that's not what I want. So God removes His presence. And the Holy Spirit moves in and starts convicting. You see, God loves us enough to chastise us as Christians. He loves us enough to correct us. He loves us enough to remove His presence in a way that wants to direct us and move us back toward Him, not push us away. We have to realize this morning, when someone passes away into eternity and they leave this world and they wake up in hell, that's not God's doing. That's not God's decision. That's theirs. That may sound cold, but it's true. You see, we have a personal responsibility this morning. God has done everything that He can do to secure our eternity. God has done everything that He can do to secure our redemption. You and I have to come to the point where we call out to Him. When we talk about the Father's love, He loves us enough to be a controlling influence in our life as long as we are willing, submissive, and obedient. And when we become disobedient, when we push away from that submission, then God, if we are children of God, if we are His children, He becomes the chastising Father. So we have the love for Jesus, we have the love of God in our life, and we have Jesus' love for all. Now that message gets preached a lot these days, but it gets wrongly preached a lot. Jesus does love the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus. Very true words. Very accurate words. Our love for Jesus and God's love for us is realized through His work in our lives. As the church, the body of Christ, our work is to spread the gospel. That's our work. That's why the church exists this morning. To spread the gospel. We're not a social club. We're not a civic organization. We're not some social ladder. We are the church, the body of Christ. And we have the Great Commission. And that Great Commission says that we are to proclaim the gospel, send it around the world. We are to baptize believers and we are to make disciples. Jesus' love for all is the Great Commission. And it is fulfilled through the church. That's why in the upper room discourse that we're listening to right now, the legacy of Jesus comes through the Great Commission. It comes through our will, our submission, our obedience for Him to be a channel through us to get His Word out, to get His Gospel out. We already know that not everyone is going to be saved. And guess what? You can't save anyone. I can't save anyone. But that doesn't mean we just sit down and we say, I'm not trying. I can't do it. I'm not trying. He doesn't ask us to do it. He asks us to be submissive so that He can work through us and He can get the gospel into their hearts. If we are submissive and we are obedient and we bring the gospel out and we place the gospel in front of people and we get the Word of God in their life and in their heart, the Holy Spirit takes it from there. And that is between God and them. Let them stand before God and give an account of why they rejected Him. If they don't have that opportunity, then guess what? We will stand before God and we will give an account of why we didn't put the gospel in front of them. Do we really want to do that? Is that really where you stand this morning and really what you want to do? That's love. That is the love of God and the reality of love and the practical, hands-on love that God has for His church and through His church to the world around Him. Well, not only is the legacy of Jesus found in love out of verse 21, it is found in loyalty in verses 22 through 24. There are two phrases in these two verses that I want to draw your attention to. If a man loves me, Jesus says, he will keep my words. And the opposite of that, Jesus says, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. These, in a very simple yet profound manner, they communicate loyalty. Loyalty that will define our life. Are we loyal to the Lord this morning? Are we loyal to Him in our life? Are we loyal to Him in our work? Are we loyal to Him in our service? Are we loyal to Him in our discipline? 2 points I want to bring out. The Lord's loyalty or loyalty in our life has an important concept today. that concept of loyalty reflects back to love. It is the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Either we do it and we have it or we don't. The love that we just spoke of and we just heard about, either we have it or we don't. And there's a very, very simple thought that carries a heavy conviction with it. And that is the loyalty that comes as a result of that love. Now, loyalty and love work together in a lot of things. Folks are very loyal to religion this morning. They're very loyal in saying they're a proud Baptist or they're a proud Methodist. They're a proud Catholic. They're a proud Muslim. They're a proud Buddhist. They're very, very, very proud and very much in love with their religion. They're very loyal to the festivities that go with it. They're very loyal to the rituals, to the ceremonies, to the prominence, to the popularity, to the debate. The list can go on and on. We all can find things inside of religion and inside of the concept and the practice of it that we're in love with and we're loyal to. But that loyalty doesn't take us anywhere. We have to be loyal to Jesus. If we're loyal to Jesus, then our focus will be on Him. If we're loyal to Jesus, our focus will be on His commandments. If we're loyal to Jesus, we will be in love with Him, and we will be concerned about getting people's souls saved and seeing the gospel communicated to them. It is the concept of submission and obedience. I can't do it, but God can do it through me. If I'm obedient to God and obedient to God's Word and submissive to that Word, then it can come through me. All I have to do is just make myself willing, humble myself and make myself willing. That is the concept. But then there is a contrast. Just as there is a concept, that contrast is identified by love or the lack of it. See, loyalty goes right back through love. We can be kind. We can be courteous. We can be polite. We can be thoughtful and giving and moral. And the list can go on and on and on. We can have all of those attributes. But if we, and we can be loyal to them. We can have our lives defined by them. But if we don't have Jesus and we're not submissive to Jesus, therefore not. You can give all of the money you want to give to the church. If you're not saved, that money is not going to get you into heaven. It will be used of God to do His work. You can have all of the power and the prominence and the influence that society can cast upon someone. But if you don't have Jesus in your life and you're not one of His children, you're not loyal to Him, you're not submissive to Him, you're not obedient to Him, you're not saved by Him, God may still use that prominence. God may still have that and focus it and funnel it through the church. And God will bring people to Jesus, but that will not save you. The contrast between the two is the attitude that we have and the convictions that we have. Are we doing what we do because we are submissive to Jesus and obedient to Him? Now, I can't answer that for anyone but me. And you can't answer it for anyone but yourself. But that's something the church needs to be aware of this morning. That's something the church needs to be awakened to today. That it's not about how the world sees us and perceives us. The world does not determine the influence of the church. God does. God does. That's why back in the first church, back in the first century, At the day of Pentecost, when the church was birthed, there were no or very few influential people in the church. Very few. They were very poor. They were just working people. Government had no interest in them. Government had no desire to have them. Who are they? God said, they are the people I will work through to change the world. And He did. And He will do it today. We in the church, we want to see a revival. Do we really want to see a revival? We talk about it. Social media is full of it. Radio, Christian radio, full of it. Books are written by well-known people about it. Do we really want revival? Do we want revival enough for us to come and submit ourselves personally to the Lord and say, let it begin with me? Do we want to see the world changed enough for the glory of God? Do we want to see God have His way in the changes of the world? And are we willing to come to God in submission and say, start changing me? I hear a whole lot of talk about how so-and-so needs to change. A lot of talk about how this group needs to change. A lot of talk about how this needs to change and how that needs to change. What about me? What does God need to do in my life? Am I submissive enough? Is the legacy of Jesus being lived out in my life? That's the important question this morning. That's the question that I have to ask. That's the question that you have to ask. Not the church down the road, not the church up the road, not the people across the aisle, not the folks that live next door. Me. Me. Am I submissive and obedient? Am I allowing the legacy of Jesus to be lived out? To be lived out in my life? It's just that simple. That is the simplicity of the obedience and the submission to Christ. That's the simplicity of it and how it relates in your life and my life. Political clout and prominence is not going to help the church. Neither is finances and wealth. I know I've been really watching out of interest some things going on inside of the Southern Baptist Convention. Because of politics, somebody said something that rubbed some others the wrong way, and some of the bigger churches in the convention have started withholding some of their missions money from the convention because they didn't like what was said. And they are holding the clout of millions of dollars in donations. What about the submission to Jesus? It's God that establishes the countries around the world. It's God that has always established leadership in the Bible. God has built and set people in authority that He wanted in authority for His reasons. I said it before last year during the election cycle, and I'll say it again. You go through the Word of God and you read it. Every leader in every nation throughout from Genesis through Revelation was put in place by God to accomplish one of two things. To either bless an obedient and submissive people or to judge a disobedient people. Now, the leaders that he put in place could have been godly people who led a revival. But you still come back to submissive and obedient or not. None of that. God is going to have His way and His will. Are we going to be submissive to Him? Are we willing to humble ourselves and come back to God? Are we willing to come back to the God of this Bible? And are we willing to say, I am yours? You made me. You created me. You saved me. You wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I belong to you and I submit myself over to you. Are we willing to humble ourselves and come to that point? That's where the church needs to be. If we want to see people saved, if we want to see the churches full again, if we want to see people coming in and worshiping God, then that's where we have to go. We have to be submissive to Him. We can fill up rooms of people by becoming politically motivated. We can become liberal and we can get a following of people. We can be legalistic and we can get a following of people. Because the pendulum makes very broad swings between the two. And think of that. You have liberalism. You have legalism. Very broad swings of a pendulum. But there's a very big space in between. A very big space that there will never be a bridge strong enough to go over that space. But right in the middle is God. It's called love. For God so loved the world. And that's where He wants us. That's where He wants His church. That's where He wants His people. He wants His people right there in the center of that love. And the center of that love is realized through submission and obedience. So this morning is the legacy of Jesus being lived out in your life. And as we close this morning, that is where I want us to think, where I want us to put our hearts. And I want us to ask God to deal with us. Deal with us. So this morning, as we close in prayer, if God's dealing with your heart, I want you to be submissive to Him.